listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble path. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Let's pray this morning. Father, come. We are here, and this is your word. We are looking at your truth. So may we step aside and listen to you, not listen to somebody up here ranting. God, may you be honored and glorified in what we see today. Come help us, Lord, in spirit. In Christ's name. Amen. So there's a lot to unpack in the word manage. And what do you guys think of when you hear the word manage or manager? Anybody?
Walmart.
Walmart? Okay. Could be good or bad, depending on where you're at, which Walmart you're at. What else? You hear the word manage.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Okay. Maybe thinking pantsuits. Cubicles, right? Movie Office Space, TV show Office, Michael Scott's character. I mean, we think of a lot of things when we think of the word manager, and probably we don't think of the home. And a lot of times we don't think, unless you're a child, you probably, all you think is, my parents are managers. But there's a lot in this word, and a lot of times when we see it, it doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring like, oh, I love being a manager. It doesn't bring a lot of special goodness inside of us, good feelings. But in the original, here in what Paul is saying, there's a lot packed into this word, manage. It certainly includes responsibility. It certainly includes overseeing and leadership with strength. But it also includes the word or the meaning care and devotion to. So right out of the gate, as we're looking at the pastor, he must be a man who cares for and leads his family in all aspects of their life. He's be a man who can look at the broad spectrum of his family, and he can engage in it with humility and intentionality, with toughness and tenderness. That's what's in this word manage, and it's attention. If you lead a home in any capacity, you know it's attention. A balance between being tough and tender with your children, the balance between those two aspects of leadership. He's to be a man who can step back and ponder sort of the trajectory of his family and press into the issues and ask the questions, where are we headed? How are we doing? He can sniff out those things. So why is this important? And really simply, as I was thinking through this week, just three observations, and they're not necessarily driving the sermon per se, and really they're just all kind of rehashings of themselves. It's probably all one thing, but I wrote down three things when I'm thinking about the home and its correlation with the church and leading the church. The first thing is this: the home is the proving ground. The home is the proving ground. And if you grew up with a good Oklahoma mother like I did, she tells you things like it starts at home, right? I mean, if it can't be manifest in the home, what is it outside of the home? Phony, probably. But it's a proving ground. I mean, you really can't take care of other people if you can't take care of what God has already placed in your life, in the sphere of your life. So that's why the home is so important. As we're looking at the church, as we're looking at the healthy church in particular, another thing is the home can be, should be, a sanctuary for the Lord. Or just as easy, if not easier, it can be a sanctuary away from Him. I think some of us are escaping from the Lord just as much as we're escaping from the world in our homes. I mean, the home is a blessing. given by the Lord to escape in some senses of the world's troubles and the world's terrors, but are we also escaping from the Lord? And that's a big disconnect, and that's kind of frightening when you think about it. We come fairly regularly to the service, this church service, and we proclaim the magnificence of Jesus, but is it at home? Is there a sanctuary of the Lord at home? One pastor, he said this: wherever there isn't a sanctuary for the Lord, there will be a chapel of the devil. And I think that was kind of a really common saying 700 years ago. The third thing is this: there cannot be a healthy church with unhealthy homes. And really, this is all kind of stacking on each other. It's all really the same thing, just worded differently. But there can be a healthy church if there's unhealthy homes. And why? Because the church is made up of people. The home is made up of people. It's made up of the same people with the same affections and the same desires. And so if we come here and we have a different set of affections and different set of desires than we do at home, there's a big disconnect. Church does not stop when we go home. And arguably, it increases because it's where all of these things that we talk about and we proclaim in this church service, that's the place where they get lived out or tossed out. So there's a massive connection between the church and the home. But what does it look like to manage the home, the household, the home front? It's to manage is to be a surveyor and a supplier of the family. You not only can sniff out and survey and scope out all of the things that are happening in your family, but you actually address them, you press into them, you supply to them. A manager of the home is one to be, he's a fighter and a lover. He sees the family in all aspects, and he engages with it. Now, this is not easy. I mean, we make pretty poor shepherds, or cattlemen, if our herds... We can lead them to streams of water and to pastures, but we couldn't protect them, right? We make pretty poor shepherds. You know, we're actually helping the wolves in that sense by fattening them up and making them more delicious meals, making it easier for them. But we make poor shepherds if we only could address one aspect, and we completely were blind or completely ignored another aspect of the home front. I mean, just because we can bring home some bacon, and I love me some bacon, I tell you, it goes on everything except for probably coffee. Or coffee sweetener. No offense to whoever brought that. Just because we can bring, bacon's always going to put me in a rabbit trail, by the way. I'm thinking about it now. We can bring it home, we can bring home particular supplies, but if we cannot nourish the full person, how is our home? What is the health of our homes? There's a disconnect. But I am grateful for the word well here. He must manage his own household well. Because when I see this word, it doesn't say perfection. Paul knows I am very imperfect. Paul knows that I will not be without flaw and struggle and pain and ample amounts of asking for forgiveness. It doesn't mean perfection, but it means consistency. To manage the home well means to be holistic, to be intentional. And how does this play out? He says, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. So we're trekking with the pastor, right? But this really does stretch out to all of us. This does apply to all of us, but we're sticking with the pastor in this context. How does this play out? He does it with dignity, keeping his children submissive. Now, naturally, when we talk about a home, we're going to talk about children because that's where they come from. Surprise. When we talk about the home, I mean, this is where children are raised. This is like the most pivotal place where they are crafted into people, into adults or seeming adults, and they're sent out into the world. And so there's probably no relationship pairing more dynamic than a child and a parent. And you parents know exactly what that means. There's probably no relationship pairing that is more stretching and challenging than that between a child and a parent. Outside of the Lord, a relationship with the Lord and their spouses. But speaking of children, this is probably a perfect opportunity to share with you all that my wife and I, Lauren, do not have kids. I was joking with Chris before we left. Joking with him, saying, "Thank you for leaving me with this passage. It deals with children, and you're the one with five of them. Zero. So, thanks a lot." I may not have this personalized experience with my own children yet, but I mean, this is Paul speaking, right? He didn't have kids. So I'll stand humbly behind the word of the Lord. Let it speak to you this morning. Very humbly behind it. The point that Paul's making in this is that the relationship between a parent and a child can be used as a litmus test to gauge the relationship of the pastor to the church. I mean, if the pastor's home life is in chaos and disarray, and the children don't even respect them, the children don't even follow them, they're not buying into him, what does that say about his relationship with the church? His leadership, his ministry. And I know this is going to open up way more questions than answers this morning, because there's always those scenarios where a man, particularly a pastor, is shepherding well, he's managing the home front well, and there's rebellion, there's rebelliousness. We're not really getting into that, but the question is, how is he handling that situation? Is it with dignity, with humility, not provoking his children to sin, or is he lashing out in the flesh? And I think the point is really simple. That's going to spill over onto the church. For the most part, he will either deal with the church, lead the church, love the church as he leads and loves the home, or it will be a complete phony for one and not the other. It will be a phony at church and who he truly is at home. And so this is really important. This is really important as we've been talking about the healthy blueprints of the church. The man, the pastor, be authentic at home. When the doors are closed, behind those doors, this mysterious abode that very few people are in on, is he truly living out what he proclaims? And that's humble. And again, there are many scenarios and questions that are probably popping up this morning. But what about this? Or, yeah, but... But let's focus on a generality here, because as we said in the beginning, like, this does apply to all of us. I mean, it's not just the pastor who's called to care for the church. The church is us people, and so we're all called to care for one another. And so if we can't care genuinely, authentically at home, how can we care genuinely, authentically as a church body, as a church gathering? In general, we deal with those closest to us with the most accuracy of our hearts, because that's where we feel the most comfortable. Our home is where we feel the most safe, for the most part, in general. There's a pastor who, he's somewhat of a celebrity, he's well known. He was asked in a conference, many other pastors on the panel, many people in attendance, he was asked, "How do you deal with people who idolize you, who idolize your ministry? How would you address that? How do you deal with the pride related to that?" And he paused for a moment and he said, "Come over for dinner." And I think what his point was, the closer we get to people, the more human we see them to be. You know? There shouldn't be this disconnect between a pastor and his flock, if you will, between the church, as if he's some lofty individual that we all could never attain to. Everything, he just struts and flows through life simply and easily, and no problems happen, you know, and then it makes you feel completely terrible because you always have problems. The closer we get to people, the more real, the more tangible they are. The point is, how are we wading through those situations? Are we trusting Jesus? Are we trusting the gospel? Are we relying on Him for our own flesh? So really quick, what does our homes look like? What do our homes look like? Are we leading them well? Are we living in them well? I think there's a lot of irony behind the living room. The word living room, because a lot of us are just dying in those places. I've certainly put some death into myself, just camping out in my living room, but plugging into so much media and nothingness, not really investing in my family, not really pouring into pursuing loving, and just dying, you know? And so we got to combat that in the Lord. We got to fight that in the Lord. So what are our homes look like? And if you're human, you're probably immediately going to the trouble area, as that question being asked. You immediately think of the tension areas. And that's okay, because we're all human, and we are all in need of our Savior. And so it is very healthy and very good for this church to really expose the home in a lot of ways. To pry out, to weed out the areas that are difficult and struggling in our homes. And ask the Lord, even this morning, to just come and meet us there. Let's be a people who cry out to Him to come to those places that we may feel no control over. That we see no end in sight. And ask Him, Lord, would you come? Would you please come? Be the Lord over this situation as I seemingly have you as over all situations in front of people. So verse 5, Paul gets into the simple logic of these two verses. He says, for someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's, finish it,
church.
In my notes, can't see it, but I wrote out the verse and I left the word church intentionally blank. It looks like an adverb up here. If that were up on the screen and you had no prior exposure to the verse, how would you end that verse? What word would you put there? Just listen to it again, the logical flow. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's household? You almost anticipate Paul to end it like that. But he doesn't. He ends it with the word church. And I think he's playing on the word there. He's using this interchangeableness between the two because the church is the household of the Lord. That's pretty intimidating. It's pretty humbling. And it belongs to Him. That's the other important part to point out. It belongs to Him. He cares for it. He leads it. He leads it perfectly. And so it's kind of obvious that He would take the utmost care of those who come in as what we call under-shepherds, as those who come in as overseers, who take care of His family. God cares supremely about those people. There's a big disconnect. If that person can't even care for his own family, and he wants to take care of the larger one. So that's the simple logic between these two verses. How can a man who cannot care for a little church care for a big church? I mean, I know we don't really think of our homes as little churches, but maybe we should. Maybe we should. That would help keep us in our minds that this thing that we're doing literally right now is not going to end when we go home. We will not cease to be the church. We will be the church when we go home. We close the doors. There really shouldn't be a disconnect between our home and our church gatherings. Both are called to the same healthy blueprints that we've been talking about this whole time. Both are called to the same eternal treasure. Both are called to the same eternal love. Both are called to the gospel. So why would we profess one here and one and not here? At least I least subconsciously, at least in our actions. Matthew Henry is a Puritan pastor, Bible commentator from England, died in 1714. He wrote a commentary on the whole Bible, pretty intensive. He once preached a message on the connection between the home and the church, and the result was a little booklet called The Church and the House. And in it he says, if your families be little churches, God will come to you and dwell with you in them. For he has said concerning the church that this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. It is a very desirable thing to have the gracious presence of God with us in our families. For he has promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in their midst. He's quoting Matthew 18:20 there. I love this. He says, this will make your family comforts double comforts, and your family crosses but half crosses. It will turn a tent into a temple, a cottage into a palace. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth are the houses in which God dwells. I certainly know that he's not promoting some kind of prosperity gospel there at the end, where he says, oh, my tent of a house can turn into a temple. My cottage in this house? Yeah, Jesus is my real home. Come on. What he's saying is, when our households are not only, our households will not only be served well, they will be served to the fulfillment of their purpose. If we would but cry out and ask the Lord to meet us there, if we would profess and confess and ask the Lord to come and be the Lord over our own homes. But why is there such a disconnect? Why is there such a big disconnect between who we are here and who we are at home? I mean, I think part of it is because at home we truly expose ourselves, who we truly are. And there's a bit of irony in that because, let's just face it, we feel a little bit more vulnerable here. Probably why a lot of people don't go to church. They feel vulnerable. They feel like they got to pretend and put on a show. Otherwise people are going to judge them, and that certainly does happen, and it's horrific. But we feel like we're more vulnerable at a church service. But the irony in that is we're probably way more vulnerable at home. We're so much more vulnerable at home. Because it's there that we put down our guard. It's there that we fondle our idolatry more accurately, more intensely. Our homes are those secret places that no one has accountability over us in a lot of ways. Speaking generally here, it's like a free reign. It's the Wild West out there in our homes. We can do whatever we want. Give me a room and my phone, I can go anywhere. Fall in love with anything. And don't even have to tell anybody about it. There shouldn't be this disconnect. There shouldn't be this, it's my life. This is my life here at church. And so Paul is drawing that out in the pastor, saying, you're not going to have a healthy church if your pastor is literally two people. Chaotic, can't care, doesn't care, doesn't love, doesn't have affection, doesn't lead his home, but he wants to do that here. Why would you want to? We're all broken, jacked up people. Why would anybody want to lead broken, jacked up people at home and then go lead broken, jacked up people in a church? Unless the gospel is central and we catch this big vision of a big, glorious God who is supreme over all things, including the home, not just this place. Perhaps there is not a place that where more destruction is possible and more life is possible than our homes. And our children, your children, are growing up in that context. They're being shaped. Perhaps the home is where God would choose to deal with us. this isn't, hopefully I'm not going to get a lot of emails, people being angry at me, but maybe this will spark a good Christ-honoring conversation at home. Men, it's okay to ask your wife, how are we doing? Where are we headed? So is my home in chaos? I mean, do I profess Jesus as Lord, but my home life would say otherwise? And please hear the difference. I know we're not getting into all of the nuances of this, but please hear the difference between one who genuinely loves the Lord, pursues the Lord at home, that's going through chaos, versus the person who has this phony affection for Jesus, this phony understand, or you know, this phony professing of Jesus as Lord and going through chaos. This is not saying you profess Jesus as Lord, all that chaotic stuff is going to go right away. It may increase, actually. Sorry. Way to end the sermon. Be super happy. It may increase. Because honestly, yes, where there is no sanctuary of the Lord, there will be a chapel. But honestly, where there's a sanctuary of the Lord, the devil really wants to get on that and destroy it. He hates to see a people who are so in love with the Lord Jesus that it infiltrates every area of their life, including the dark secrecy of their home. And so, what do our homes look like? Stop being a church in their play, and let's be the church. Let's stop pretending and playing to be a family and start being a family in the Lord. Because God has purchased us with the cost of His Son. He has grafted us into the eternal household of His joyous pleasures. I mean, that right there should produce an endurance in us to run the race in our homes. Yes, there's a race at home. And God has brought us into the eternal house of His joyous perfections. So are our homes to the Lord or away from Him? And as it starts with leadership and goes down, we all need to ask this question. Do I love and care for my home and the people that God has given me to serve and to lead? Or do I just pretend that's happening and pretend to love and care for people in this bigger gathering? So that really does apply to us all. So just really quick, as we're closing, would you join me this morning in sort of a prayer of dedicating our homes to the Lord? Just asking the Lord to meet us in those places. To ask the Lord to meet us in the chaos. I mean, we all build up expectations of what our home life is going to be, how our relationships are going to be. And when those fall short, we turn from the Lord. And maybe the Lord is speaking through those moments. Maybe the Lord has a profound lesson through that for you. Come to me. You who are weary. So would you join me this morning as we're about to close in prayer in the dedication of our homes to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, would you meet me in my home life, my household? Men specifically, as we lead our families over those in the spheres of our life, we would shepherd with toughness and tenderness, with biblical wisdom. And all of us in general, all of us who, in the capacity of leading a home, would you join me in prayer here in a second? To ask the Lord to meet us today in those places. Well, when we go home, those idolatrous things are going to be really tantalizing and so easy to just fall back into our love and our affection for them. Would you join me this morning in prayer over those things, that they would be smashed, that they'd be wiped out? There is only one true eternal pleasure and joy, and that is Christ. So let's ask Him in prayer right now to meet us in our homes. Father, we thank You for Your Son. would you first and foremost create in us a longing for you? As we pray over our homes, those of us who are leading homes,